So as you can see, the title for today's homily is on the screen. And we're going to think today about what does it mean to give light until the day we die. Well, once upon a time, there was a candle. This was a little candle. And this candle, compared to the other candles, found herself to be insignificant. There were these big red candles. There were green. There were blue. There were orange. There were black candles. There were all these candles. And then there was this little candle. And compared to the other candles, she felt, well, somewhat inferior. And then as it got dark, a man struck this thing, this light that was coming towards her. And she realized that he was going to light her with this match. And she shouted out, although she could not speak because she had no voice. But in her heart, she was saying, no, no, do not light me. Do not light me. But he did. And then he extinguished the match. And she realized that there was light coming into the room and that it was emanating from her. And then the man took his match and lit many other candles, and they were all burning together. And then she was realizing after a couple of hours that she was beginning to melt. And then it dawned on her, I have been created to give light until the day I die. I have been created to give light until the day I die. This is what the season of Advent is all about. What does it mean for us to be like St. Joseph, to be like Mary, to give light until the day we die? One person who so beautifully represented this in her life was St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You know her story. She died on the same day as Princess Diana, and because their death happened on the same day, the celebrity of another kind got the highlight and the spotlight, and Mother Teresa perhaps not quite as much, but that wouldn't have mattered to her at all. But one of the things that happened after St. Mother Teresa's death was that her diaries were made available to the public. And in these diaries, she shared how much of her interior life was one where she knew much darkness and struggle of soul, what is actually called the dark night of the soul, termed by St. John of the Cross. And not very many people experience that kind of dark night. As the secular media got hold of her diaries, they kind of made a field day of it. And they kind of, in some ways, were skeptical and dismissive and sort of saying, wow, look at what was going on in her interior life. She was kind of a two-faced kind of person, one thing on the outside and feeling something else on the inside. And they didn't understand St. Mother Teresa at all. This was the point. Even though in her interior life she struggled with these things that caused her great pain, it was out of that place of her own suffering that she understood what it was to be a candle. She understood what it was to allow for the match of the Holy Spirit to so touch the wick of her soul that she burned with a light of such significance that she touched the world in a way that few other people have. After the 9:30 a.m. Mass, someone shared with me how once, a number of years ago, Mother Teresa was at the Knights of Columbus convention in the States, and they gave her a check for $100,000 and invited her to come to the banquet. And she said, no, I'm not going to come to the banquet. And after the banquet was over, she asked the question, so how much did that banquet cost? And they said $600,000. And although she didn't ask for it, they wrote her a check for $500,000 in order to ensure that they were giving as much mother to St. Mother Teresa as they'd spent on a fancy dinner. That is the nature of what this woman was like. So how is it possible that this saint could live with such a sense of purpose, even though in her soul she experienced such pain? It's because she understood the nature of our life. Life in this world is an advent. Life in this world is a journey towards the coming of Christ. Life in this world is not the goal. It is the way, it is the direction, it is the means by which we are able to meet the goal. And on this first Sunday of Advent, the church spells out for us with great clarity what is our goal. Our goal, of course, is ultimately to meet Jesus, and not only to be with him after we die, but to look for that day, the day that we call the second coming. In today's gospel reading, Jesus talks about the second coming, and he compares it to the days of Noah. You'll remember Noah, the flood, and all of that. So there are all the people who were killed in the flood. This is the judgment of God. And then there's Noah, the righteous man, his 8 family members, and a few pets. And they are on the ark. But the reason they're on the ark is not to stay there forever. No, not at all. But after the judgment, they are to come off the ark and enter into a new world. That's what Jesus means when he says that as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Do you know what the second coming will be like? There'll be a universal resurrection of the dead. And there will be those who are raised to eternal life and those who are raised to eternal judgment. One of the clearest expressions of this is in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. And so this is what Daniel reads, and he's actually saying the exact same thing that Jesus is about the second coming. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What a beautiful way to think of Saint Mother Teresa. In the middle of her pain, she shines like a star, and she led many to righteousness. This is the Bible. What I'm now putting up is the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is the official teaching of the Catholic Church. This is the magisterium. This is the teaching of the Pope and the bishops. And listen to how the teaching of the Church corresponds exactly with the teaching of Jesus and Daniel. The Catechism says in paragraph 1042, "At the end of time, the kingdom of God will come in all of its fullness. After the universal judgment, the righteous will reign forever with Christ, glorified in body and soul. The universe itself will be renewed." That is the most succinct statement as to what the resurrection will be. And this is such an important point. We will not only have an eternal perfected soul, that will be joined to a resurrected body. The exact thing that happened to Our Lady in her Assumption. Mary anticipates our future. But for us, it won't be all at once. When we die, our soul will leave our body, and it will await the second coming before it's joined to the resurrection. But when we understand this, when we see what our goal is in life, it makes all the difference to how we live today. We understand that not only is the story of Noah one that Jesus speaks of, but it also captured the imagination of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah lived 800 years before Jesus. Isaiah's book is the longest prophetic book in the Old Testament. It's 66 chapters long. And today's reading comes from chapter 2. And here in the second chapter, Isaiah says that Jerusalem will be the highest of the mountains. Now, I've been to Jerusalem. It is not higher than Cascade. It is not higher than Mount Temple. So what does the scripture mean when it says it is the highest of the mountains? It's anticipating the day of the new Jerusalem. And not only do we find it here in the second chapter of the prophet Isaiah, we find it in the 21st chapter of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where St. John says this, "I saw the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven to earth. There was no more sun, there was no more moon, because God was the light." Do you see the integrity of the Bible? Be it Daniel, be it Jesus, be it Isaiah, be it the book of Revelation, they're all saying the exact same thing. So what does the second coming mean for us today? Well, this first Sunday of Advent helps us to hear that Advent is like an alarm clock. It's like an alarm clock. In the gospel, Jesus says, the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him, therefore be alert. And in today's reading from Romans, St. Paul said very clearly that it's now time to wake up. It's time to wake up, not in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. Bishop Robert Barron says that he thinks the most fundamental deadly sin in the Western world today in North America is the sin of spiritual sloth, a kind of whatever attitude when it comes to the most important issues. And of course, if you have no sense of your end, if you have no sense of what you're here for, sloth is going to be something that you're going to live out. But listen to what St. Paul says. The reason why it's time to wake up is because our salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. In 2 weeks, I will be 62. 40 plus years ago, when I was in my early 20s, I made a decision to follow Jesus personally. That was over 40 years ago. My salvation, that is the judgment that I will face when I stand before Jesus Christ, is nearer to me now than when I first believed. And it's true for all of us here. Similarly, the second coming is nearer now than it was when we first believed. And that's what St. Paul wants us to see and to understand. We are to live our lives in such a way that we are to see and to understand that our Advent journey leads to a goal. And so, in this reading from the letter to the Romans, he says that we're to put on the armor of light. And then he says we're to cast off the works of darkness. And the works of darkness are forms of self-indulgence and self-preoccupation. And in this reading, he mentions a number. He refers to reveling, drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, quarreling, and jealousy. And he calls them the desires of the flesh. I want to read what one commentator said about them. This does not mean that the flesh is evil. God made our bodies, he made the world, and our capacity to experience pleasure. All these good things are given to us by God. But they become evil when they take control of our lives, when we become slaves of self-centeredness and self-indulgence, then we become like black holes. We become like black holes. What is a black hole? It's turned in on itself, and it collapses and destroys everything that comes into its field of gravity. So how are we called to live? Well, we are called to live putting on the armor of light. I remember many years ago going to a place called Lake O'Hara, and it was 2 a.m, and I had to go to the outhouse. And so I got out of the tent, and I went out into the night, and there was this most remarkable night sky. All of the stars, the moon, and because the moon was full, you could see the mountains. And this is exactly what St. Paul says is to be the representation of your life and mine. We are to be a candle, we are to be like a star, and that we are to keep burning until the day we die. But what might that look like? Well, let's turn back to St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta for one last time to think about how do we represent this kind of light in our world. One of the things St. Mother Teresa did was she would respond to letters that people wrote to her, and sometimes there would be donations included with those letters. And this is a beautiful letter that she wrote to one supporter. And she says, "Dear Sarah Faisal, thank you very much for your kind letter and your prayers. God loves you for the love you have for his poor. You too can do Jesus' little acts of love through your kind smile, your loving words, your care and concern for others, first to your own." This was a key theme of St. Mother Teresa. She said, the place where you begin to live the life of charity is not by coming to Calcutta and being with me, but to your own, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your brothers, to your sisters, to your work colleagues, to your choir members, to your church members. Where you live your life is where you burn as a light. And look at how simple her counsel is. She's not asking us to do big things, but such important things. And then she concludes, even a simple smile can mean so much to those who are lonely, unloved, unwanted. Let us be carriers of God's love to everyone around us. God bless you, Mother Teresa. On the first Sunday of Advent, we are called to be giving light until we die.